Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Who else has tried FabFitFun? If you don't already know about it, it's a seasonal box with full-size beauty, fitness, and lifestyle products. Their spring box is amazing! It's products like Show Me Your Moomoo Robe, Sip by Swell Water Bottle, Dr. Brandt Eye Gel, and that is just the beginning. Don't miss out because they sell out fast. Check out www.fabfitfun.com and use the code WHOA10, that's WHOA10, so you can save $10 off your first box, making it only $39.99. Again, that's fabfitfun.com and use the code WHOA10. You deserve to treat yourself. Hey fam, welcome back to the Whoa That's Good podcast. Y'all, I'm so thrilled for the conversation that we are having today with Elizabeth Hasselbeck. She is one of the most inspiring, incredible women that I think I've ever met in my life. But she's also such a great friend, such a sweet mom. She is literally Tinkerbell in human form. She's amazing. And not to mention, she just wrote a book that is already out now everywhere where books are available. And it is called Point of View. I read it myself. I learned so much from it. And we're going to get to ask her so many questions from the book. So with all that being said, let's dive in. Hey fam, welcome back to the Whoa That's Good podcast. Okay, today we have a very, very, very special guest. I know you've probably seen her face. You probably heard her name, but if that's all you know, you're missing out on so much because she's one of the most amazing people I've ever met. So welcome to the podcast. Elizabeth Hasselbeck. We are so excited to have you.
I'm so thrilled to be here. Thanks. What a blessing to sit here. Like if you were to say like a couple years ago, like would we be right here talking about this? Like God just got so many better plans than we ever could lay out. And this is just, you just made my day. Like I needed your prayer. I feel like so blessed to know you as a friend because you just have this awesome gift and you're like unashamed and like unbuckled when you use it. It's awesome. I just think you, you just speak to me. You speak to my daughter at the same time. I keep like, you're such a bridge between like our generations.
Wow.
And God just uses you well. You're like two arms out in both directions. And I love it. So I'm loved that I get to be here. Thank you for like taking time to hold the book. This is crazy.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay. We are going to talk a lot about your book because it is so, so good. And I know so many people are going to be blessed. And I think that that's a bridge too, because that can reach so many people, so many different seasons of life. No, I'm so excited because, you know, I actually remember when you came over because you live in Nashville now.
Yes.
Like, I think everybody knows that. But whenever you were here for the Caleb thing and I came in your dressing room because my mom was like, you need to go say hey to Elizabeth Hasselbeck. I was like, I don't think she knows me. This might be awkward. And I walk in and you're like Tinkerbell and you're like, hello. And I'm like, she's so nice. And I remember you were like, come over and have a dance party with us.
Yes.
And I was like, I love you so much.
You need to. You still need to
do that.
That's what we need to do. The coolest thing is God's given us like all these opportunities to like, with your schedule, which I know is wild and busy, but you do such a good job doing it with like a ease of the Holy Spirit. Like you do. It's like a joyful busy, which I think we're all busy, but it's not always joyful, right? And so I just think God's given us these times like unexpectedly to like overlap and get together.
It's so cool.
Like
You're
dinner
so
with your mom was still one of my favorite times in life.
I will like never forget that dinner and everything we talked about.
It was like three generations deep of just wisdom.
It was. So for those of you listening, we had dinner. It was myself, my mom, my grandma, Elizabeth, and Rebecca Lyons. And we got deep.
We went
to church.
We did.
We're all crying.
We're like a booth in a restaurant.
Sushi bar.
Tears over sushi.
That's so funny.
Good stuff.
Well, we will get to the interview. We could literally talk on it. I told the team this morning, I was like, I don't know how this is going to be 20 minutes because like I really don't know because there's so much truth to unpack from the book and different things. But just like that's good. I'll start with the best piece of advice or a really good piece of advice that you've ever gotten in your life because I think that people like you who we've heard so much. much from. We've been so inspired from. It's cool to hear what inspired you or what was good advice that was spoken over your life.
You know, I'd have to say my dad, I question myself a lot, I think, because I'm like a really hard worker and just want to get it right. And I do suffer from what I call FOLPD, fear of letting people down. And my dad, I think without naming it as such, like could see that in me. And so he would just take the time to, at really crucial points in my life, tell me like, I see you. I know you. Go show them. Like, and it was just, I think what that gave me was kind of a layer of like truth to like understand what God says about me too.
Yeah.
You know, like, I see you.
From
I know
dad.
You. Go show them. And my dad, like, it's just, and he just always let me be creative. Go try. Just try. And so I think so much advice has come in. But I think just that advice, the freedom of like a father's like vision over and love. Yeah. And I'm thankful to have one that, you know, just loved me really wonderfully.
Yeah.
So it was a proper reflection, I think, of like God's love. And so that was really good. And then I think Maria Goff in like present time, a reflective bit of advice was like, sometimes when you're looking for an answer to prayer, God sends a friend, is what she says
in
her book.
I love that. You said that in the book too.
It's like, I quoted her in the book because I'm like, man, like that's so good when you look back and you're like, God, did you show up for me? And he's like, oh yeah, I did. It was Mandy.
Yeah.
You know, it was like Jody.
So cool.
It was a Jamie.
So
it was
cool.
A Jeannie. It was a Sadie.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he does. And I think that's been good for me to look back and be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
When I was looking for you to answer a specific prayer, you sent a person.
That's
like,
so
she worded
cool.
it so well that I'm like, golly, that is, it's just.
And don't we
so
miss
good.
It? Sometimes we miss the answer because we're expecting some like thing written in the clouds. And certainly God can write things in the clouds. And I'm not saying that he doesn't, but sometimes he just speaks through a friend. And don't be so, you know, caught up in, is he going to say it here? Is he going to do it here? Is something just going to drop in my lap when it's right in front of you speaking to you that you can hear and listen?
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful. I love what your dad said too, just from a dad. I think even just starting with fear of letting people down. And I think so many people suffer from that. I think everybody's probably gone through that at one point in their life or one scenario. In life to another, but to think about the God of the universe, the creator of all things, says, I see you, I know you. Like the freedom that brings, gosh, I hope that everybody listening, no matter how old you are, just takes that to heart, because that I think that's a promise for everyone. I think that's something God would say over every single one of you, that he sees you, that he knows you, that right where you're at, you're
right where
enough.
You are.
Like, it's so cool. You don't have to
so
do
cool.
anything. You don't have to strive for anything right where you're at. So that is absolutely beautiful. So now, like, I can't wait to dive into this book, because like I said, it's so good. Aww. And for everyone listening, you have to go get her new book, because this is what I said after I read it. I was like, that was everything I would want out of a coffee sit down with Elizabeth Hasselbeck. It's like you feel like you get your whole story, you get all the advice, you get everything you need to know. And one of the things you actually mentioned in the book was you're like, be a mentor and like get a mentor kind of thing.
Yeah.
You're like, be a good mentor, go find a good mentor.
Y'all, we all grew up at camp around here. We are camp kids. We love camp, love a good camp game, camp song. All of it is so fun. Summers at camp are definitely awesome. And my kids are too young for camp, so I got to have some other things to entertain them. And KiwiCo is a great way to bring camp right to your door. Some of the fun of camp, at least. KiwiCo delivers some seriously fun learning games for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities. Every month, kids receive crates packed with projects and items to help them explore science, technology, and art in ways that will capture their attention no matter what their age. So I mentioned our love for camp. My mom actually was the craft director at camp all my life. And so she was always doing new crafts and teaching us crafts and led all the kids in that. And so it really is fun to get to do some crafts with the kids at home, especially with KiwiCo, because they always have an educational element to them for no matter what age your kids are. So even Honey, the little crafts that KiwiCo has sent are great because it's teaching her things that I might not necessarily think to teach her at this age, but through a fun way, it helps her. KiwiCo will help you engage your child's natural curiosity and encourage them to be an innovator and creative thinker. They'll learn new skills and new connections and build the confidence that they need to navigate through the world. We have loved watching Honey and Haven grow and learn, and thankfully, KiwiCo has made it so much fun along the journey. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, A-U-D-I-B-L-E .com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends.
And if you don't have a good mentor, if you can't find a good mentor, read her book and you have a mentor. Like,
oh,
you,
gosh,
you mentor people through the book. I felt like I left the conversation and I was like, that was so awesome. Like, I just talked to Elizabeth Hasselbeck and heard her story and all of her good advice. So go get the book. But we're going to hit on some of the points that I just thought were so powerful. If, you know, like I said, you've seen her face, you probably know her from several different things. I know you did The View. We'll talk about that a little bit. You were on Fox News, but you also were on Survivor, which
crazy.
Is one of my favorite TV shows
crazy.
Ever.
So scary.
I'm sure that was so scary. Like, so I can't scary. Even, like, it's kind of hard because people ask me, what was your experience on Dancing with the Stars? And I'm like, how long do you have? But, like, overall, just... what in the world? Like, the story's crazy. So I'll let you touch on it just a little bit of just, like, was that just, like, completely life-changing?
Yeah. I think it was completely heart-changing.
Yeah.
And first of all, I'm going to hop back 1 second. When you say find a mentor, your mentor doesn't have to be older than you. Like, I learn so much from you.
Uh-huh.
I learn so much from you when you speak, when you do your podcasts, when you write, and when you're in person. I've always left, like, our conversations and our time, like, feeling more. And,
that's so
like,
cool.
I just think, like, you really draw me, my eyes, like, closer to God and, like, on His word. And I just think, like, your mentors can be younger, a lot younger than you.
So cool.
That is true.
Thank you for saying that.
That is so true. So don't always look up. You can always look over, you
That's
know,
great
and to
advice.
The generations around you, you can learn so much. Survivor. Whoa, that was hard. That would be my
that would be my
podcast. Whoa, that was hard. What was harder, The View or Survivor? Toss up. The I do think, like, I went trying to figure out what I was made of, and I found, like, not much, but I know that I needed. I left knowing that I really just needed the word of God.
Wow.
And Roger Bingham, who was, like, this awesome guy who was on there, we all brought survival items, and, like, I'm not practical, so I, like, made a headdress to remind me of who I was.
When I read that, I laughed so hard.
Stop that.
I think I might have done that.
You probably would have. I was like, this is going to remind me and keep me grounded. They're like, what about a hatchet? And I'm like, no, this is better. It's like nothing practical, but in my heart it will remind me. So I bring that.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Roger's survival item was his Bible.
Mm.
And the coolest thing was that his survival item in a time where we had no shelter, we're outside trying to build a fort around us, gave him a shelter.
Wow.
You know, it was like,
whoa, that's so good.
It was like pillow, blanket, roof, bedding, warmth. It was all in there.
Wow.
And like, it was the first time that I think I really depended on the word to get me through the day.
Wow.
When everything else was literally stripped away. And like, you were like,
watching a kangaroo hop by and like hoping to like make a fishing line to catch a fish. And like, you know, you're just kind of bare boned without anybody you knew. And so his survival item, and I'm forever grateful for it, was mine. Wow. And not just in the outback, but when I return and beyond, I think that it was the first time I really like craved it, like a hunger and needed it. And I know God placed him right there. So like no matter where you are, whatever your survival area is right now, we're all in them.
Yeah.
Like there's somebody around you who has something, and it's the word. And so if you can like get close to them, it's beautiful. Roger and I hung out like all day.
Yeah.
And I knew, I think God placed him right there in my life at that time on Survivor to get through by his word, by the power of the spirit, in a way I never knew.
That's amazing.
Like, I was hungry, but I was full.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was full.
That is so cool.
That I'm so thankful for that time. People are like, would you go back? I'm like, I'm good. I learned what I needed.
I learned what I needed.
I need the word of God.
That's so cool. You know, it's actually really cool about you saying that, and I'll go to another totally different point of your life, but when I was reading the book, and I underline a lot when I read, and I write notes like all beside it, I kind of like that person that needs like the book to write it all in.
Me too.
And last night I had your copy and I was diving through it, and I wrote in big letters, amazing how the scripture is so active in her life when you were on The View. But now hearing that that's what you learned from Survivor is to cling to the word. And then later on, you read in the book, you're on The View, you're on Fox News, and you're clinging to the word. Even though you're in a totally different life scenario, you're still understanding like that is your survival guide.
Yeah.
And that was a beautiful thing to me. And I just was so captivated by how active scripture was in your life. And so, I wrote down this, and yes, I'm reading notes from her book because it's good. And you will take notes.
I'm sweating.
But she talks about preparing your heart in the morning. And she says, read the good news before the hard news. And I just think, you know, so many people, we kind of just talked about how the word is a survival for so many people. But everybody always asks, how do you have time for that? How do you have time to read the word when your life's so busy? And if you read her book, you will know she is one of the busiest people in the world, especially at certain different times in her life. And in particular when she was on The View and Fox News, but you still made time. And I'm assuming that's because you understand the word is your survival. But what did that look like for you during that time? How did you kind of maintain the sense that like this is the most important thing? And how did you see it benefit your life?
You know, I think that's really good questions. I'm still like just honored that you read those stories. Those are really hard times in my life. I feel like one hard time prepared me for the rest.
Yeah.
And the next, I feel like I, you know, like that balance, that first thing you look at in the day for everything else to weigh against. That's what the word is for me. And just being disciplined in that. I mean, I would crawl to the word in the morning. It was 2:30 in the morning before I would go on the news. And,
it's crazy.
You know, it when the world is telling you who you are or what you have to say or what they think about what you said, you learn quickly that like you can drift really far in your identity. Right. And so I had to first and foremost get the good news before the hard news. I read some really hard stuff. That was a tough year in news. Some really like traumatic things were going on in the world and still are, but I would, it was literally the first thing that would come on my email. So it was like, well, if I don't get into the word of God first, everything seems more extreme than it needs to be or less important than it needs to be. So I felt like it just gave me a balance for things like everything else is going to weigh against this for the rest of the day. And the days that I didn't, and we all have those days, you're like, oh, I'm trying to, God shows up.
Yeah.
But I feel like it takes me a little while to refocus and see things the way he wants me to. And he just grew me a lot. Like even in, and even in this time when I'm like, you are busy, but you, I feel like you have a joyful busyness. Like you're like my purpose. And listen, we are made to work We're made, God gave us gifts to work well.
Right.
And use them to glorify him. And when you're doing that, when you're in the word, like there's an energy in that. There's there's a fuel in that that's different, you know? Like his energy is not mine. I would say like my goals, I work hard. Like I work so hard. And I want to work hard because I don't want to let anybody down or my team down. But I think like even my even if it's a pure desire to do well by those around me, it has a real limit.
Yeah.
God's has none.
That's good.
You know, his limits, he's limitless.
Literally.
And so what he can do when you're listening to him in obedience is so much. You know,
so
you're living that now. But when you get out of that and you're on your own will, you feel like, man, this run hurts.
Man, it's hard.
This is harder.
That's so true.
But he shows up. That word, like, it just got me through and gets me through now. And it's more like a, it's a hunger for it. You know,
that's
I really need
so
it.
Good. I love in the Bible, you know, it talks about like you will run and you will not grow weary. And then later, like I think it's Paul, he talks about like don't grow weary in doing good. And so what you're talking about, like I think it's so cool because it gave you that balance, it gave you that consistency, and even talking about a joyful busy. I love that. My mom actually always tells me her biggest pet peeve is like when people are doing things for God, but they're always like, oh, I'm so busy and exhausted and it's just so hard. And mom's like what you're saying is as if like the promises that he's promised you like aren't coming through. And she's like, don't give off that attitude.
Just gave me a chill.
And like it's always like stuck with me and like been a conviction. I'm like, I don't want to like look like that person that's like not receiving what God promised, because he really does promise it, and it really does happen if you stay in it and rooted in it. And so making that priority for you and seeing the benefit and even hearing, because I can't even imagine, you know, we say we watch the news and we're like, oh man, that was a little bit negative, and you had to read it, but still you're like the most joyful. Like I said, you're Tinkerbell in human form. Like, you're amazing.
Listen, it got to me on the day. It still gets you. Like, he'll meet you there. I also think that me chasing news was not it's something I think about, Sadie. Like, you get opportunities in life, and sometimes you go after them with your own will. Yeah. And I still think about, like, did I go get that and ask God to, like, bless my steps in it? Like, you know, I talk about in the book that example of, like, I played softball and I was, like, the worst on my team. But
one of my favorite stories. This is one of my, please tell the story about the third base. It is so good.
I was a walk-on, okay? My dad told me to go show him, so I tried and I bunted my way to a spot and pinch ran my way to a spot on the team. And I remember finally getting in the game. You know, in that minute when you, like, finally get your chance, I'm going to do this. I remember seeing my base coach, and I'm on second base. I come into pinch run for somebody, and I hear the ball hit, and I'm running. I'm like, this walk-on is going
to
win the game
for the
team. Like, oh, this is my time. Like, oh my gosh, I put my helmet on. Like, so I was like, and I am like, I see her. I see my base coach like holding me up at third. And I'm like, oh no, not today, And I turn, I rotate around third, and I'm running home. And I got slammed by the catcher's glove. I'm like, I've never, that hurt in a way. Like, it hurt my pride. It hurt me inside. It was like a hammer coming down. And I was so out. I mean, I was out before I even like got to third. Okay, but I was going to take home. But the whole way, I'm like, I remember being like, come on, God. Like, what I was doing was asking God to bless my steps.
Wow.
When I went ahead of his will. Like, he's like the most awesome base coach. So when you feel him holding you up, like, obedience sometimes looks like waiting and holding up. And like, I can get
it. So
I don't listen sometimes. Yeah. Even now, like, I'm 41-ish, and I'm like, I'm 41.5-ish. And like, I will get ahead of him. In my own will.
Wow.
And like, it looks a lot like that. And you will get tagged out at home, and it's going to hurt. And my coach, she yelled. She was a great coach. She had every right to yell at me. But she would say, it's not your base to steal.
Wow.
That wasn't your base to steal. And sometimes I will go and get things, perhaps maybe my news job, because I was I'll show them. Like, I'll show them that I can do this.
Yeah.
And but God still met me there. Here's the great news. He still meets you.
Yeah.
Even when you go ahead, he's like, come back. Let me ice your wounds.
Let me ice your wounds. But I love that. And the story, the way that you tell it is so good. Just as good as you are as a storyteller, like right now, like you're hearing her, you're probably laughing right now. That is how it reads. And I love, you're like, I spit out my gum and I put my helmet on. I got it. So I was like, I love it. It's so visual. I love it.
I wanted to play so bad. I would like get my helmet dirty, like on purpose before the game in my uniform, just to look like I had worked hard.
Like you did it.
You know, like I want to work hard even when no one will let me. Like,
that
is awesome.
But I love the point of the story that you said, the reason you're good. Did that was obviously she could see what you couldn't see, which is the same as what you're saying with God. I mean, he can see what you cannot see. So when there's a hold sign, when there's, like you said, the obedience is the waiting, it's for a reason. It's not to say, I actually ran into this person the other night and they said, I'm so tired of this waiting season. It's just a season of waiting and it's just so annoying. And I just feel like God's not coming through. But the way you tell it is like, this waiting is just the obedience of God protecting. And like, it's beautiful. I think that story is amazing. Amazing. And I love it.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you like even knew the end of that story. Sadie, you're my girl.
It's so good. I'm telling you, you're such a good storyteller. I felt like I saw that happen. I felt like I saw your bruise on your leg after the catcher slammed.
It's still there. It's a permanent bruise on my heart.
The story continued for me. You're like, look at the bruise. It's so
scars.
One of my other favorite parts of the book, and I just think this is so powerful. You know, I'm like, this year have been preaching a lot about unity. I think unity is like the heart of Jesus. That's literally his last prayer. It's what he preached. And something you said about how much you love Whoopi and how it was like such a controversial thing because y'all are women sitting in chairs together that are literally like discussing all of y'all's differences every day. But what you said was just so, so powerful about how you don't think the same, but you love the same.
Yeah.
And that right there, I think that's going to be healing for a lot of people because I think so many times people think, well, we don't think the same, then we can't be. But the way you said it was so challenging to that thought that we don't think the same, but we love the same. And we got past that to love well. And it was beautiful. So I just want you to talk about kind of that relationship and that friendship with those women that were so different. And obviously, it wasn't even like y'all were hiding that y'all were different. Y'all knew every single one of your differences. And how did you look past that?
I think you look through it and you look through a lens of love. Like Whoopi is one of my dearest friends. Like we do love each other. We don't think a lick alike and we love, but we love a lot alike. Like Whoopi, when you go to her house, she'll say like, come as you are with the people you love. Find something to eat. I've saved a spot for you. I think that's heavenly.
Wow.
You know, I think that's heavenly. She loves my family. I love her. We love the same, don't think the same. And I think that's kind of the challenge is like, one thing I learned, and probably too late when it came to personal relationships too, you know, like that person that you have in your heart that you're like, man, I wish I could have been a little more wrong to be right with fill in the blank, you know? So find that person. My challenge would be like the one I'm still using now. Like I literally feel like I'm seeking my heart. Like God's let me seek in my heart. Like where was I being so right then I'm now wrong with someone? Because I don't think God's going to like high-five us when we get to heaven and be like, girl, you were so right about everything. Like, I think he's going to say you love that person even though you didn't get along about a subject or you thought differently. And I feel like my prayer now is please make me wrong enough to make us right again. And it's happened. Wow. Like it's happening personally in my life and relationships that
beautiful.
I didn't know. I trusted God would take care of it in his time, and he has, but it wasn't until I did the work in my own heart.
Right.
You know, I'm a recovering rightaholic. I'm really good at being right.
Wow.
I'm like super good. I trained it. I worked in an industry where you had to be right all the time on everything. I played right field and softball. Like I was right. I was good at like recovering rightaholic, and I don't want to be that. I just want to be wrong enough to like hear and listen, because I think when you hold on to the pride of like, everything you stand for. And listen, what we stand for is important, but like, I really believe that God put on my heart, and in writing this book, it came like, he gave me this like pure thought, like after being so hard about being so right for so many years, he's like, what you stand for is important, but not more important than the God you stand under together. And like, we stand under this God together, and that's what he's asking us to do well. You know, I really believe that. And that was hard for me because I'm like, but I'm right, you know, and that can really divide.
Wow.
So I think having those conversations, like those
God-versations,
I call them, with like those girls or guys that you might not think alike, it just is that talk without the condemnation, and then you're able to get to that loving place.
And that's Jesus.
You know, it is.
That's
it's all the cross.
Jesus. You're like making me tear up over here.
Well, your message is so powerful about it now. Like God's using you so well about unity, because I think it's about like holding on too tight to what you think you're right about, like can leave you really alone.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my goodness. That's like so deep that like I remember when we were at the Bob golfing together and we sat at the same table, which was so crucial. Thank you, Bob.
Yes.
Literally, thank you, Bob, for
thank
changing
you, Bob.
Our life during that time.
He really did.
That was actually such a special, it was like a mentorship when we didn't even mean to walk into it. Bob had invited a lot of people to come and really just learn without us even knowing really what we were going to do. And it was myself and Elizabeth and Rebecca again and Lauren Daigle all at a table together. And you had mentioned, and this is the first time I ever heard you say that, about being so right that you were wrong with people. And it hit me then, and it hit me again in the same way today, that it makes me tear up, because you think about like, man, how many times have I done that? That like, I cared so way too much about that I made it wrong with somebody that I actually really love. And that, I think that if somebody is listening right now, two of the things you talk about in your book that I think is really powerful, that are two really hard things, but you made it in a fun way. You talk about surrender. And I think that that was one of your biggest consistent themes throughout the book, the surrender to God's will in your life. And then at the end of the book, you talk about the forgiveness math. And I thought that was so fun how you did that, because forgiveness is hard.
So hard.
And surrender is hard. But you're so cute that you made them both seem doable. And I think that surrender and forgiveness are a huge part of everything you're saying. Being like right with people, being okay if like, you know, you might not be seen as being right. Forgiveness and surrender are two huge parts in that. So anything you want to hit on with that, the forgiveness math, I think was fun.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's something that just because I think I had this equation in my head for so long, like I'll forgive you when you say you're sorry. Like,
yeah.
Like, seems good to me, but that's actually more complicated. That's like doing like triple algebraic calculus equations because people are complex. And like, thought people said, I'm sorry how I want them to.
Right.
You know, like, I want you to say you're sorry how I envision it, you know, like coming to me with like chocolate or like, no,
you
like,
played it out in your head.
Yeah. Like, this is what it should look like. Yeah. And it doesn't look like that. Like, we don't have a God that waited for us to say we were sorry first, you know, He forgave first. And if like we are to be like that, then like all of our equations don't add up. And His is simple. His is like forgive and let Him do the rest.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It doesn't require an apology. And I spent so many years waiting for apologies before I forgive, but I was locked down in resentment. I was locked down in being right. I was locked down in waiting, the wrong kind of waiting, for someone to do what I believed I deserved in order to forgive. And God does an awesome thing when you fully surrender all of that and you allow Him to be that eraser. Like, I don't have to hold the eraser on what happened, and neither does person who did it. You know, like, He is the eraser. It's like, that equation is like, gone. Like, old school pink eraser. Gone. Like, and that's the coolest thing, because we have a God who forgave first, loved first.
Yeah.
And if we think about that and you sit in that a little bit, it certainly gives you permission to do it.
Right.
Like, at least try.
Right.
You know, like, I feel like personally I experienced a couple of relationships that I thought were like decades deep in like a state of lack of forgiveness. And like, it just took me doing the work in my heart to forgive. Mm. And not on your own either. Like, you can ask God, like, God, I'm having a tough time letting this go. Like, He does that too.
Yeah.
You know, like, he really does. Like, help me, like, unravel this in my heart. Like, let me let it go. Like, erase it for me, because I'm holding on to it. Like, I've got etches in me from this. Like, take them away. Like, He does that. And He does it because He wants you close again with the people that He's placed in your life.
That's great. That's really like, good.
It's a really neat thing, and his math is so much better.
Yeah.
It's so much better.
That's so good, man. You're, like, totally ministering to me right now, so thank you so much. And I know that that's for so many people. So I want to end on this, because I think this is the cutest way of saying, this is one of those, I was reading the book, I said, whoa, that's good. I was like, that is good. And it was when you said, paint the pineapple. You're like, just paint the pineapple. And, like, I feel like that is something that, you know, I think for me, I know I'm that person that, like, I like to have, like, a little word I can like cling to, that I'm like, whenever this is happening in my life, I need to like remind myself of this by just saying like, paint the pineapple. And so I feel like that's something that so many people can just grasp and like hear in their head whenever they start getting into this mode. But I'll let you kind of tell a little bit of the story and just the heart behind the message of paint the pineapple.
Well, I love painting, and I think in this whole book, like, my art teacher from high school told me how to like really look at the light, how light hits the object, and draw that. Like, see the light, draw this bag, this hard bag to draw, see how the light hits it and draw, and you will draw the bag.
It's a beautiful story.
So really like looking at the light of things, and then taking that artist in me, I lost it. You know, I think life can allow the losing of who you were created to be. And so I think really at that weekend with Bob Goff, when we were sitting there, something like that dream big, like, unlocked something in me. He said, find who you were when you were 8. Remember?
Oh my gosh. Remember, I started sobbing. We had to leave. Go to the bathroom.
We needed a minute.
Out.
We needed a table break. Our table was like, we're just going to huddle up with Kleenex for like 27 minutes, and then we'll be back into this whole thing. It unlocked something. Yeah. What it unlocked, like, you know, whether you're my age or your age or like Lauren's age or Rebecca, like, whatever it is, something was unlocked, because we deny ourselves who we're created to be. Yeah. We deny ourselves for the best reasons. We're busy. We're tired, we're working on something else, and Bob allowed us to like locate who we are. And he'll like, find who you were and find what you love and go do that. And he makes it sound so simple.
He makes it sound so simple.
So like, painting the pineapple for me is like figuring out that thing that you used to love to do, or the thing you really want to do, and just put the first brush stroke on the canvas. Mm-hmm. You know, it might not turn out how you thought. It's just start again.
Yeah.
Like, start again that thing that you love doing.
So
and
good.
Don't be worried about what it's going to turn out to be or how, like, useful it's going to be.
Yeah.
Like, who can use a pink pineapple? Nobody. But it's in our house. And yeah. It's not up because it's a masterpiece. It's up because I did it, and the process of doing that helped me fully open the door back to, like, walking into who I am.
Wow.
Like, who God made me.
That's awesome.
And that's it. And honestly, like, that work, that pineapple is like us. Like, I wrote this book. We talked a little bit earlier. Like, and I was like, oh, man, I've got time to work on this and work on some things. And God's like, girl, I have a project for you. He's like, we're going to get you back to peeing the pineapple. And that project, by the way, is you. Like, he worked on my heart.
So
I'm like,
much.
He really did, like, so much in my heart that I'm like, oh, man, should I keep writing? Because God did so much.
Yeah.
But just whatever it is, whatever you go back to and you're like, you know, I used to really love, go do that. You know, go paint your pineapple, whatever that looks like. Yeah. Go get it.
Wow.
Just start.
That's so good. I mean, I love that. And I think somebody out there needs to hear, first of all, go paint the pineapple. And second of all, God might have a project for you. And it might be you. And this is being our last podcast of season two. I think that it's great that it was long. I think that people go back, listen to everything she just said. Let it minister, let it pour over you. Take it to heart. Don't just let it go in one ear, out the other. This is one of those things where this is the time we get to sit for minutes and we get to hear from a mom and a friend and a mentor and somebody who inspires a lot of people. And that's a gift. Your words are such a treasure, such a gift. And I know I'm sitting here and I'm like, man, I need to go think about some things. Like, the project's me. I need to go think about it.
Project's God, me, too. Like, project is still me. God's like, by the way, that's you.
Yeah, it's still not
and
over.
Me and all of us. Yeah, always. I learned so much from you, Sadie. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. We Thank love you. You. Thanks so much.
I love you, girl.
All right, y'all. You know what time it is. Time to call Mama. So we're going to call Mama with our best piece of advice and our worst piece of advice. Let's see what she has to say.
Hey, hey.
Hey, 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 hey. Are you ready to bring some good advice and to expose some bad advice?
Let's do this.
All right. Let's see. I'm actually super excited about asking about this one because I'm interested to hear what you shall say. It says, okay. It's better to be nice than to be right.
Oh.
See, this is what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about you and Dad right now.
Yeah. I think that we should act respectfully and kindly at all times. I don't think that we should. But I think that's different than being nice. Like, sometimes we can just, being nice is just like, I'm just going to be nice even though, like, I don't, like, I think that it's okay. We need to, even in our being right, I guess we should be, in our being right, we should be respectful and kind in it. In the way we deal with that. And so I think that's important. But I also think it's important for us to realize that, like, we may not be right. There, like, we always have to hold space for that within ourselves that, like, you know what? I may be wrong. Like, I may be off base here. I need to listen and to hear out another side and another viewpoint and all that. So I think it's important for us to both hold space for perhaps I'm not right. Perhaps I have something to learn here. Perhaps I need to listen a little bit more, and then rather than just trying to be nice, I think it's deeper than that. It's more about being respectful and kind to the other person, having respect for who we're talking to, and acting kindly that rather than just being nice.
So true.
To answer that?
Yeah, you did.
That makes sense.
Okay. I think that people, what says it's better to be nice than to be right. And I think that even the question's confusing because they don't always go hand in hand, is kind of what you're saying. Like, it's always important to be kind. It's always important to be respectful. And sometimes you're going to, whatever you're saying, it might be right. And there are times that you are confident in that and strong in that. But there are also times to say, you know what? Maybe I am wrong. And that doesn't have anything to do with me being necessarily just trying to be nice. That's me realizing I'm wrong.
Yeah. I don't think I guess what I'm trying to say is you shouldn't sacrifice, like, oh, I'm just going to be nice. Like, I'm not going to say anything that I disagree with because I'm trying to be nice. I think that's kind of almost like, it makes me feel like you're just kind of being a politician. You're just like, okay, I'm going to agree with you, even though I don't really agree with you, because just I'm trying to be nice. And I don't think that's what you should do.
No.
I think you should speak. I guess it's like that speak truth in love. I think that's
the
different ways. Like if there's some truth that you know, you should stick to that, and you should be confident in that, and you shouldn't, but you should do it with love.
Yep. That's so good. Very true. Very true. That's biblical too. Okay, the next thing, this is actually going to be funny for you. This is a woe that's bad, I would say. But it says, don't get married. You'll lose all your freedom and the fun.
What? That is totally bad. That's awful advice. There's freedom and fun in marriage as well. So there's nothing wrong with being single. And for all the single ladies out there, that's great. Do that. But being married is not the burden, what do people call it, like the ball and chain, the all that kind of stuff. It's not that. There's tons of freedom and fun in marriage.
Yeah,
and I have a lot of fun.
And coming from two people who got married at 18, that's pretty cool.
That's
to
right.
say.
So, that's right.
Thanks for sharing that, Mother. I love you very, very, very much.
I love you.
Bye.
Bye.
So I don't know if everyone's heard something that the Live Original team is so excited about right now. We started last year the LO Box, and you may be thinking, what in the world is in an LO Box? Well, the LO Box is just the Live Original Bible Study Box, and it has everything that you need to equip you to lead a Bible study right where you're at in your own home. We have everything from the actual Bible study itself that I wrote on Bold Confidence to recipes for what to cook for your girls. We also have fun activities and so many more things that partners have sent in. And so if you are interested at all in being a leader, go to liveoriginal.com and look into the LO Box.
Thanks so much for listening to the Whoa, That's Good podcast. We got a lot of good nuggets today. Don't forget to follow me on all the social media platforms I'm on. Instagram, I'm at LegitSadieRob. Twitter, Sadie Robb, and follow our Live Original Instagram. Also, I'm Sadie Robertson on Facebook. Head over to liveoriginal.com and subscribe to this podcast. And while you're there, you can see the tour dates that I'm coming to a city near you. Don't forget, please leave comments in the iTunes section and leave reviews. This podcast is produced by Steve Strout and Peter Hartzell, so a huge shout out to them and a thank you to my LO team. You guys are the best. We love y'all and we appreciate you listening. I'll see y'all soon.